There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm just wondering, in all your time in psychiatry, regardless of whether you're dealing with individuals or couples or families, what are some of the consistent things that you've found?
Yeah. And let me just clarify, even if it doesn't matter, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm a psychotherapist. And a psychiatrist has a little bit more of a medical training than I do, and they prescribe, and I don't do anything like that. So my work has really been in doing psychotherapy with, you know, individuals, couples, children, and families. And the things that, you know, overall, what there's many things that I would say, but in answer to your question, I would start by saying that the level of dysfunction and abuse in the family of origin in America today, the high levels of stress that are on parents and on children, have produced, you know, a lot of dysfunction and abuse among average people. So it's been really interesting to me to be a psychotherapist over all these years and to see what people have suffered behind closed doors, a lot in the home, some at school, in the community, and in the workplace. But all that is a ripple effect of the dysfunction in the family. And I think we've lost our focus on taking care of families here.
So your belief is that perhaps the foundation is at the home, the living environment. That's where things start, and then kind of, obviously everybody's circumstance is unique and different, but right, that home base, those relationships, that's kind of the foundation of where the kind of seed is planted.
I think that's really true. And one of the reasons why I wrote my book, America in Therapy, is because it's also true that our larger groupings, like a school or a religious organization or a business or a community or a state or a federal government and a nation, they're also family systems, and they operate on the same basis and with the same dynamics that family systems operate. So if there's a lot of discrimination or a lot of injustice or a lot of withholding of resources from certain populations, or targeting of certain populations that come down from larger organizations, including the top, including nationally, then you have that family dysfunction layered over people. I mean, there are a lot of people just suffering discrimination and lack of opportunity or inability to earn a living wage or get medical treatment. Or, you know, I've had clients who are from marginalized races and communities who are just targeted walking down the street. It's not just in their home. It's, you know, a policeman follows them because they're black.
Mm. And we're all one world family, right? It's like, how can we have more of a healthy bond just outside our own little circle?
Totally. And one of the things that, you know, I say America in therapy, but everything that I talk about is really global. You know, but I live in America, so I talk about America. But I know that these things are happening all over the world. And in some places, obviously, if we just listen to even a little bit of the news, it's just beyond tragic and traumatic what's happening to so many people.
Yeah, I was going to comment on that because I'm, you know, obviously your book's called America in Therapy. I actually haven't been to the States. Australian in Germany. So it's hard for me to comment having not even been over to the States, but my sense from speaking to friends, from speaking to guests, the level of kind of division, regardless of political view or opinion or whatever, this discourse and this inability to find a kind of middle ground, regardless of perspective, it just seems like a massive challenge right now.
Yes. And I really feel like it's not just an inability to find a middle ground, it's an unwillingness. And that is part of what is of such great concern. And one of the reasons, you know, and I'll keep saying one of the reasons why I wrote my book, because there's so many reasons. But one of the reasons is because taking a psychological point of view and looking at what's happening in our country through the lens of what we know either harms or heals in an individual family. And so I call it the family of America, and I'm looking at the family of America through that lens, that all of psychotherapy and all of psychology is about healing relationship, healing the relationship with ourselves, healing the relationship with others, or peacefully disconnecting. You know, it's all about bringing people who are, you know, when we work with couples, for instance, or families, they don't come to therapy unless they're having problems, unless they're not communicating well, unless people are feeling hurt or abandoned or betrayed or abused. And, you know, when we bring people into a room together, we help them hear each other. We help them restore respect for one another. We help them take responsibility if they have responsibility for their part in the upset or the breakdown. And I would love to see those principles come to government, because we don't have that. We have people acting out on each other in a, you know, in a national forum, all over the media. And these are the role models for our children and for our adults, that you just get to call each other names in a position of authority, and not try to work it out and not try to listen. And so the psychological lens and the healing lens is what I think we desperately need in America. And I think a lot of people want it. I really do.
Mm. So how would you suggest if two people are kind of on opposite sides of the coin or whatever it may be, how do you suggest that they find a way?
Yeah, I mean, some of the basic principles of whether it's good psychotherapy or it's mediation or any other kind of healing modality where people come together to try to work something out, there's just some basic principles that could be applied in government very easily if we had the willingness and the desire and the education to do it. And those are things like, number one, nobody comes to therapy. No one's allowed to come to therapy with a gun in their hand. We don't listen to each other if we feel threatened, right? So we have to leave our weapons, whether they're, you know, our desire to just, you know, verbally attack, or shame or blame or threaten. We have to leave that at the door. That's like number one. It has to be safe. And what I can tell you from doing therapy with people over well over 30 years and having been a client myself for many years, is that feeling safe with another person is key. We have to feel safe. Otherwise, our defenses are all at play. And when everybody's defenses are at play, and in a country, those defenses look like weapons of mass destruction and police brutality and all kinds of, you know, injurious things that happen to people, there's no resolution. There's just more attack and defense. So number one, we leave our weapons at the door, and we have like a therapist or a mediator is someone who navigates that with us, who holds the boundaries. And I would love to see that in Congress. I would love to see there be professional facilitators helping people listen to each other, even if they don't want to. Because our country is at stake. The well-being of our populace is at stake. And I can come back to that because I can go off in so many directions because
likewise,
everything is related, right?
It's all interconnected.
It's all interconnected. And I'll just say this really quickly. When two parents are fighting unendingly in a home, their children suffer. And their children become symptomatic. And our leaders are fighting unendingly and without restraint. And our populace is suffering. And in all the years that I've been a therapist, I never had one person come to therapy over what was happening in our country until the 2016 election. And then I had people traumatized by what was going on in our country, awake at night, fearing for what the road we were going down politically. So going back to your question, though, number one is we have to feel safe. That means we have to restrain ourselves from attack and really do our best to listen. And I've had people, couples, come to therapy who one person gets so angry at what the other person is saying that they walk out. And we just wait for them to come back until they're ready to sit down and actually listen and restrain their anger. They can have the anger. You can put it into words, but you can't act it out. So that's number one. Number two is that we really have to reflect on ourselves. What am I bringing to the table? What is America bringing to the table? What is the government bringing to the table that's causing a lot of distress and acting out and violence and injustice and poverty and withholding of resources and discrimination? We all have a part to play. And so taking self-responsibility and reflecting on our own actions is one of the key elements in healing. And I can tell you, when I was in graduate school, I had a class in couples therapy. And I still remember one of the things that the professor said in that class, and that was that the couples who do the best are those who are willing to change their own behavior. And they stop blaming the other person for what's happening. And that doesn't mean I can't say that I don't like it when you yell at me, or I don't want you to yell at me, or do you know what I mean? It doesn't mean that I can't stand up for what I believe is right and healthy and will contribute to our relationship, but I take responsibility that I don't do that. Because one of the things that, you know, I think we see all over the world, in our homes, in our communities, in government, is that we all want to be heard. But we haven't been taught how to listen. And so we all want from other people what we're not willing to give or we don't know how to give. And these are some of the principles of the best psychotherapy and the best mediation is that we help people, we teach them without shaming and blaming and making them wrong. We teach people, we help people hear each other the way they want to be heard. And if we just embodied that principle, we would have a different world. We would have a different world. And these are the principles of the best psychotherapy that I want to see shared and used at the higher levels of institution and policy and authority and influence and control. Because right now, and this is one of the basic premises of my book, is that what's going on in government a lot, and of course, I'm not talking about all the good things. There are good things that people are doing. There are people doing amazing things, helping each other, volunteering, contributing money to the poor, setting up programs for clean water and teaching inner city people how to grow gardens on their rooftops. There are amazing things that people are doing. But a lot of what's coming down from the top are abuse family dynamics, discrimination, withholding of resources, blaming people for their poverty, for their symptoms. And I go into great detail in my book about what happens in an abusive family, what are the symptoms that people show, And what happens if they're left unchecked? And the same things are playing out in our country, and they're dangerous and they're scary, and many, many people are suffering and traumatized. So taking responsibility for ourselves. And one of the things that, we do in therapy, and I don't know if you've ever experienced psychotherapy, but one of the first things we do is sort of take a history. You know, what happened in your childhood? What role models of conflict resolution did your parents display? Were there different expectations for men and women? Were there rigid boundaries? Were there no boundaries? Was there abuse? Was there love? Was there support? Where did you get, you know, where did you feel successful? Where did you feel like a failure? What happened? You know, was there a traumatic event in your childhood? Was there abuse? Did someone die who you relied on? We take a history because the history is everything. And I will tell you that. So what I want to say is, for us as individuals, we have to know what conditioned us, because that is really a key. So I want to say two things about that, but please feel free to interrupt me, because I have so much to say that I can just tell you my whole book.
No, that's awesome. Reflection, it goes back to reflection again, what you've just finished on there. And reflection comes up quite a bit on the show. The great value in reflection and taking stock of your own stuff. And listening as well, like you mentioned earlier, just you know, the act of listening, like focused listening. That's right. What I find with this show. It's very much focused listening, which is really awesome for me, because it's a huge exercise in focused listening.
That's right.
So yeah, reflection, listening, and just my own experience in therapy. The real benefit I found was, like you say, someone taking a very objective look at things and being able to, in a non kind of emotionally attached way. I mean, obviously there's care there, but they're not a family member or friend.
Right.
Being able to piece things together and just like say, hey, why don't you try this, suggest things and look at things in a, I must say it was obviously very, very important, but I found a lot of benefit when I started to bring a little bit more physicality into it rather than just intellectual stuff. So some of the more, kind of, this isn't a criticism of therapy, but some of the more integrative approaches where I've tried to address some things in the body have really helped me. But that's just my personal
journey. Absolutely. Oh, there's so many approaches that are all valid. And absolutely. I mean, even some of the things that I focused on, like, I don't know if you're familiar with EMDR. Mm. You know, it's not necessarily a body focused, but it's a brain focused in a different way than just talking about what happened. So there's so many approaches: hypnotherapy, body centered body therapy, somatic therapy. There's just many, many valid approaches, and different things appeal to different people. So yeah. I have no issue with that. I'm for all of them. If it works for you, it's great.
And I think what's been the most benefit is trying so many different things and seeing which you know, just have being open to so many different types of therapies is pretty cool. But this analogy you have is pretty cool for the bigger family, and the flaws in the kind of systematic thing. Something that perhaps comes into play in both the smaller thing and the bigger thing is trust. And I'm wondering what your, you know, in your experience, maybe just even with a couple, when the trust has been shattered, do you think how do you think people can rebuild that? But also in a bigger context, you know, I don't know how much. I think in the modern climate, people are perhaps losing a little bit of trust for the people who are governing their lives.
A lot of trust.
From all the things you've said, from what we see, it's like, well, who do we trust with the modern media? Mm-hmm. Like, So this trust issue is a really big one, I think.
Yeah. Well, it speaks to one of the next things that I was going to say in terms of what are the elements of repair in relation to.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare.
PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
And one of them is making amends. You know, most of us have hurt people. You know, we tend to focus on how we've been hurt, and that's legitimate and that's appropriate. But most of us have also inadvertently, perhaps, hurt another person out of just not seeing or being consumed with ourselves or whatever. And so making amends is really, really critical to a healing process. And the best way to make amends, the very best way to make amends, is to do it differently now. You know, how do you rebuild trust if someone has betrayed you, or they lied to you, or, you know, they ignored you, or whatever they did that hurt you? If you've had this experience, and I've had this experience, where someone is genuinely remorseful or apologetic for what they've done, or I've been that with someone else, it rebuilds trust. I do my very best to treat you differently now. I don't yell, or I don't, you know, whatever it is. And when we see another person actually making that effort out of a desire to repair the relationship, there's just nothing like that, you know? Yeah. And so on a national level, we have a lot of amends to make. We have a lot of amends to make, real amends, to Native American people, to Black people, to women, to minorities, to the poor, all the people that have been subjugated, that have been blamed, that have been targeted, that have been abused. We have a lot of amends to make. And again, if we were to like really take that seriously as a country and make that a priority, we would have a different country. We would have a different world.
Mm. And a demonstration of change, like you're saying, moving forward from the person or party, you know, just the kind of evidence that the person has done the reflection and is at least trying to adjust is a big step. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, real, it's human that we hurt other people by, you know, inadvertently or intentionally. It's human. We get angry, we get scared, we get defensive. You know, we just act on impulses that are not so great out of our own wounding. And to bring, you know, a level of deep understanding of where our own pain has come from and how it's affected us and how it might have affected other people brings a container of emotional safety around the healing process, so that it's a strength to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that to you, or I didn't understand the impact on you, or I will really try hard not to do that again. That's a strength, not a weakness.
Yep. And I guess there's layers upon layers, particularly in the States and stuff. I mean, it's almost like we don't have a chance to kind of heal from one thing and then the next thing is on top of us. So you're trying to, it's like, how do you sort of move forward when there's like five layers deep of stuff that needs addressing?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's no easy answer, and there's no one answer to that question, of course, because there are layers. But, you know, one of the things that I think people really need to feel, and I don't know what it's like where you're living, but I think one of the things that people need to feel is that they can make a difference, that their work on themselves, that their healing work, that they're mending their marriage or making a better relationship with their kids or working it out with their employer or their colleagues matters. And one of the things that I say is it really does matter. Every single thing that a person does to relate better to other human beings, to be, you know, an advocate of peace and safety and love themselves helps. It all matters. And it has a ripple effect, even if we don't see it.
It's hard to see, but yeah, the ripple effect is definitely there. It's also tricky to put things in context sometimes and sort of take stock of where you were and where you're at and get a, you know, perspective is a big one that always comes up. And understanding.
What were you thinking? What were you thinking when you said that, though? Difficult to put things in context.
Oh, no, I just think, yeah, it's like if you're actively working on yourself and actively changing, sometimes it's like I often, you know, if I look at the things I was wanted to achieve 10 years ago, and now I see the things I'm doing now, often it's hard for me to put it in context. But when I do, I see all the stuff I've achieved. But when I'm in it, I find it hard to get that perspective. So
right,
I think for anyone listening, it's really important to just take stock and try and get a kind of grasp. Just speaking about the rip that like you've said, that ripple effect is so important. If you're taking those steps, it's all very, very important.
Well, you know, one of the beautiful things, and I don't know if you've experienced this, but in relation to that is like, yes, I have that too. Like I can't see something when I'm in the middle of it, but sometimes somebody else reflecting that back to me makes all the difference, you know, and we can do that for each other. And, you know, and I think in a healthy family and in a healthy society, we reflect back each other's strengths. We reflect back each other's achievements. We give each other credit for the hard work we've done. And people desperately need to be acknowledged. I can't tell you the number of people that I have worked in big businesses who never hear an acknowledgement for the work they've done. And it makes all the difference in our lives to feel like somebody sees our effort and appreciates it. And we can do that for each other. And these things are free. You know, they don't cost anything.
Yeah, we hold mirrors up to each other all the time. I just think the issue with the modern kind of online world is there's just so much yelling. And it's so easy for people to kind of yell at each other in a type, you know, and there's been so many kind of cases of like, the person wouldn't necessarily say that if they were face to face, but this kind of keyboard,
right?
You know, so genuine connections and face to face, and like genuine acknowledgement,
totally
in person. I mean, the technology is awesome because we can do something like this, but
exactly,
yeah, more acknowledgements in the outside world there would be a help.
It's huge. I mean, how many couples have I worked with where they've just forgotten to do that, you know, and it changes the relationship. Just that changes the relationship. Thank you for making breakfast. You know, I don't really need thanks for making breakfast because I want to, but it feels good.
It really is the one percenters, you know, the little trivial 1%ers. It's a tradition on the show to have guests offer some sort of challenge given their experience, given their personal journeys, given their expertise. Is there anything that springs to mind? A lot of things on the show, they're not big things like jumping out of planes or anything like that. It's more the little things we can do. Do you have anything that you might like to offer?
I mean, just on the level of what we're speaking, I would say, let's just make it our practice to go out of our way to acknowledge people. And that can be the people in our immediate lives. It can be someone in a store who's waiting on us. It can be someone on the end of the phone. It can be, you know, it can be a larger, can be sending a letter to your congressman if you like what they did. But let's go out of our way to acknowledge people. We don't know what people are suffering. Most of us, most of us in America, it's like this anyway, and I don't know what it's like where you are, but in America, it seems like we just sort of have this thing about we have to look good. We have to look like we have it all together. We have to look like we're strong and independent. And people are really suffering. They really are. And who knows if you or me just being really kind and acknowledging of someone who waits on us in a restaurant or who serves us in a store, you know, who knows what kind of pain they might be suffering and they're trying to look good and function, and how much just a smile from us, just a thank you, could change their day.
Mm. It's that's an awesome one, particularly as it's come from what we're speaking about, acknowledgement, genuine acknowledgement. It's funny, we have a very high level of kind of customer service in Australia. So, and in Germany, I've had at times some struggles. More, you know, the language has obviously been tricky, but you know, dealing with some big companies and stuff here, I was getting quite frustrated. And then I had to call a bank at home for something. And regardless of country, I just had a woman on the phone in Australia who went out of her way in a really genuine and awesome way. And I did exactly what we're saying. I just had to acknowledge her. And she was, it spun her out a little bit. She was... I don't think she'd had too many customers that day tell her what a wonderful job she was doing. Exactly. And it might have also been, you know, from me having fought for a few weeks. But I had to tell her. And I don't know what impact that had, but I'm glad I told her in the moment. So the, you know.
Yeah. 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 I mean, and I just feel like people are so hungry to be seen and to be acknowledged, because a lot of people don't get that even in their families of origin. They just don't. It's such a missing. And again, this is free. This doesn't cost anything. This isn't a policy. This isn't a law. This is just human relations.
Mm. And I see some things that are like, you know, don't seek validation and all that. I mean, that's kind of a different thing, but it's actually what's wrong with, you know, hoping or wanting some acknowledgement for what you've been working at or doing now and then, you know?
I think it's a fallacy to say we don't need validation. I think if our whole well-being depends on having other people acknowledge us, then we're in trouble. You know, then we're like in that codependent boat, right? But a healthy relationship is a give and take. It's not because too much of that, you shouldn't need validation, goes to that illusion that we should be independent. We should be able to meet all of our needs. We should look good and have it together all the time. And we don't need anybody for anything. And it's just not true. It's not true. And to the extent that we believe that, I think people really suffer. We need each other, and we need each other in our personal lives. I need love. I need to be able to give love and express love, and I want to be loved. And I think that's actually who we really are. And in all my experience as a therapist, all my experience, the greatest wounds that people suffer and the greatest dysfunction that they then display in their own lives all comes from some injury to love and belonging, all of it. And so if we're going to heal as individuals and as a nation, we have to bring love and belonging back into our priorities.
Yeah, there's the individual work and the collective work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they go together.
Yeah, they're hand in hand.
They're hand in hand.
They're hand in hand. So how are you remaining optimistic in terms of what's coming up, particularly in the States next year, and the kind of, there's a lot of things going on, obviously, you know, climate and artificial intelligence, and just are you an optimistic person given your experience?
I think that this is how I feel. I'm frightened by a lot of what's going on in our country and in the world. It's frightening. And I think that's an appropriate reaction, actually, because I think it's scary. And I think we're at a big turning point as human beings on this planet of what we're going to actually choose. And are we going to choose to come together and survive, or are we going to keep war on whatever level going? And that's why I wrote my book, because that's really the heart of it. Like, what are we going to choose here? And on what basis are we choosing now? Do we know what we're even choosing and where it could take us? And so in terms of optimism, the way that I feel is I really believe in people. I think there's not one baby born on this planet that is an evil person. I don't think that. I think it's what happens to us that makes us destructive or murderous or, you know, harmful to other people. And so I have great hope that we can learn differently. And I don't see myself as the savior of the world. I see myself as one voice among many, many, many people who are trying to steer us in a different direction. And I think the more we each contribute whatever we have, you doing your podcast is an amazing contribution. I think the whole podcast world is incredible in terms of like there just being a platform for people to have a voice that doesn't depend on social media and the larger media outlets. So, you know, my hope is that we just can contact our own contribution, whatever it is. It might just be being a better parent. It might be fighting world hunger. It doesn't matter on what scale. And I think the more we encourage each other to contribute to a healthy world and a sustainable world, the more hope there is for the future. But am I scared about what's going on here? Yeah. And that's part of my impulse to speak.
Absolutely. And choice, as you said, is a big one. Where can people find you in the book?
Yeah. So the book is actually coming out next year. So it's not published yet, but it is available for pre-order, and it's available for pre-order on Amazon. It's America in Therapy, and then it has a subtitle, but you can find it under America in Therapy. And, the best way to find me is on my website, www.phyllislevitt.com. And there's links to the book, and my website right now is pretty much focused on my book. But there's all kinds of, you know, good information there. And then I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn, and, have a lot of traffic on LinkedIn. So that's a really good place to find me. I post a lot of, you know, a lot of material and articles, and I'm on Instagram and YouTube. I have a lot of podcasts on YouTube and on my website. Those are the best places.
Yeah, awesome. No, I agree with you. This podcasting, everything, it's just such a great way for such a range of voices to do their, you know, to bring their thing.
It's pretty cool. It's fabulous. And I've met the best people on podcasts like yourself. And just a really quick, I just wanted to add, you know, there's a place on my website where you can just contact me if you're interested in getting more information or having me speak or whatever. I'm just committed to doing my part just like you are. And I love it. And I love collaborating with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate the acknowledgement, and let me acknowledge you as well. I mean, we've covered some really big and important things in quite a short amount of time there. And that's the beauty of this stuff, is you kind of cut straight to the, you know, you cut straight to the important stuff, which is really awesome. So I really appreciate your time and your insights.
Thank you. And I appreciate you likewise for having me and for offering this to your audience, because, you know, again, I think people are really hungry for doing this differently in the world.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.